The focus has been on the Word of God since morning, and not only this morning, but every week when we gather together, the focus is on the Word of God, including today's calendar verse that reminds that He is the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. So reminding us that He is the bread of life, He is the Word of God. It's very important for us to focus our attention as we continue our series on the Bible. We have started a few weeks ago on the Bible series, and may the Lord enable us to continue even today as we focus our attention on His Word. Let us. This is a continuation from the previous week as well. We had meditated upon the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we were able to go a little into Isaac's part, but we couldn't finish it in the interest of time. We said that we will continue this week. So if you have last week's sermon notes, keep it. You don't need to take another copy. It's the same one. We are going to continue on that. But if you do not, then only take it, and we will greatly encourage you to continue to keep getting your sermon notes, because it might come to use, to be able to use it in the following weeks as well. We will again look at that theme verse for the sermon titled Covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 23. Altogether, please, shall we read 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 23. But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them, and turned to them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from His presence until now. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. May the word of God be magnified. Gracious Father, loving God, we come here to Your presence, trusting in You, Lord, that may Your word be magnified. No man be magnified, no man be glorified, but may Your word, which came down from heaven into this earth, and word became flesh and dwelt among us, may He be glorified. So we ask You that You may open our eyes, spiritual eyes, that we may see wondrous things from Your word as we continue, especially on the sermon, Covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Speak to us, Lord. Help us not to get distracted here and there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Abraham and Isaac, we almost kind of have gone through this. Just a little recap of what we have gone through last week. Under the genealogy of Terah was born Abraham. To Abraham was born Ishmael and Isaac. Actually, through Keturah, he had six more sons towards the end of his life. And then we see how Nahor marries Milcah, and from Nahor was Bethuel born. To Bethuel was Rebekah born, who becomes the bride of Isaac, bride that was chosen for Isaac. And that is how we have come to that level of understanding through the genealogy that came in, and how the lineage, the green box is talking about the chosen lineage through that family, all other families to be blessed. That was a covenant that was given to Abraham. We have meditated upon it from the book of Genesis chapter 12 onwards, all the way till 25 is what we meditated last week, focusing on the fact that the covenant was made to Abraham, and that covenant was, I will bless you and make you a blessing. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was the covenant that God has given to Abraham, made the covenant with Abraham, that as He blesses, they just shouldn't be the recipient of the blessings, but they should be able to let that blessing go through them to other families as well. We meditated upon the seed of Abraham, the son of Abraham, or the seed of Abraham, that is none other than ultimately Jesus Christ. And the sons of Abraham are of those who are of faith. That is what we focused upon. And then we also saw how God tells Abraham that He will establish His covenant through Isaac, and how the life of Isaac was also wonderfully meditated upon, about the substitute for Isaac, how God provided upon his whole purpose of God, as he declared the whole purpose of God, that he provided a substitute for Isaac because of the covenant that he made and established. And he chose a bride for Isaac. Isaac waited upon the Lord as much as he waited, and he was meditating in the evening in the fields, and how the bride was brought to Isaac. And how Isaac continued to pray for his wife when she was barren, when she was unfruitful, in other words. He prayed on behalf of Rebekah, and then God blessed both of them because of the way in which Isaac lived a life as well, we have meditated upon, especially with the kind of polygamy that was there. He maintained his allegiance to his wife, Rebekah. And he prayed on behalf of his wife. And ultimately we see how the next generation came in, the twins that were born. And Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the blessings that were given to Jacob and Isaac. And the kind of the specific covenantal blessing given to Jacob, and the regular physical blessings that was given to Esau as well. That was what we have meditated upon. Isaac was still alive, and the storyline that we were in chapter 25 of Genesis. So it's very important for us to be able to recognize that this is a bread of life. It is a bread that came from heaven, the word of God that came down. Somebody made this statement saying, the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. You see that? You don't eat cake every day. If you are, maybe you need to watch out of your eating habits. It should be like a bread for daily use. Daily I want to eat from the word of God. Once in a while there are some occasions when the cake is cut. And also, another statement I just wanted to share with you. It says, the new in the old contained, and the old is in the new explained. We are meditating on the Old Testament and New Testament. The new in the old contained, and the old is in the new explained. That is what the word of God is. That is why we have to focus our attention upon both the Old Testament and New Testament. Though we are New Testament believers, we should not neglect the Old Testament. We should learn how God is explaining his whole counsel during the time of the Old Testament in order to be able to show forth what happens in the New Testament. So covenant made, covenant established. Now let's look into the third box that we have. And before that, I want us to read along with me from Psalm chapter 105, verses 8 to 10. As it is projected, you can join with me in reading it all together, please. Psalm 105, verses 8 through 10, all together. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. If you have any other language that you want to read, could you please read in any other language? Psalm 105, verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 10, I think, I don't know, we'll stop there. So if you see here, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and in other place in Genesis, we saw how God himself said, I am going to establish this covenant with Isaac, or the oath that he made with Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob. Please note it down, the heading, covenant confirmed. Covenant made, covenant established, covenant confirmed. He's a God who not only gives a promise or makes a covenant, he establishes the covenant and confirms his covenant. And that is what we see about the focus or attention on the covenant that was the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is where we can understand how this covenant passed along from generation to generation. So if you see Genesis chapter 25, it talks about the birth of this of the twins that were born in chapter 25 of Genesis, chapter 25 of Genesis. Keep your Bibles open. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. We will give you a Bible. Have the whole Bible with you, not just the New Testament. If you want to own a Bible, we will give you one. Please just raise your hand or just go back in the back rows and our brothers are there to give it to you. So Genesis chapter 25, please look into the Word of God. Genesis chapter 25, verse 19 onwards, it talks about the birth of Isaac's sons. And here we see in verse 21 that he prayed on behalf of his wife. And then we see how she conceived. And verse 22, the children struggled together within her. She said, if it is so, why then I am this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. So both Isaac and Rebekah were prayerful couple. Isaac prayed in verse 21. In verse 22, she inquired of the Lord. In other words, she prayed. A praying couple, very important. And then we see in verse 23, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, that the older shall serve the younger. God made this statement. And then the twins were born. And we see the first one that was born was Esau. And then the second one that was born is named Jacob. And we see here that the word Jacob can also be translated as a supplanter or a deceiver. And we notice after that how this couple tried to show favoritism to one child over the other. And we see that in verse 28, how Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. And it ended up to the fact that Esau was a person who was focusing on food. He was a person who focused on his tummy more than anything else, to that extent of selling his birthright to his brother Jacob. And in verse 34, it says, towards the end, thus Esau despised his birthright. And that is how this particular chapter ends. So what is this that we see here about these twins? What is the whole counsel of God that we can understand from this particular chapter about these two nations that were born from the womb of Rebekah? While you keep your fingers here, please turn with me to the book of Romans. As I was telling you, new in the old contained and old in the new explained. Romans chapter 9. So that is why we need to look into the scriptures to understand what is being talked about here and try to understand the whole counsel of God. Romans chapter 9. We see here, verse 10 onwards, as I read, please listen to this carefully. Verse 10 onwards. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. So here we see in verse 11, that the twins were born, who were not yet born. Even before they were born, it says, God's purpose according to his choice. Notice this. The whole counsel of God, or the whole purpose of God, or the whole will of God. Those are the three different words that can be used to understand Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Declaring the whole counsel of God, meaning understanding the purpose of God. So here we see in verse 11 that God's purpose according to his choice. No one can question him as to what kind of a choice he is making. So we see here that according to God's purpose, according to his God's choice, that would stand not because of the works, but because of him who calls. That is what we can learn, the purpose of God through the story of the birth of the two sons of Isaac and Rebekah. While it says Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, a lot of people have so much of difficulty in accepting this statement. How could a God hate someone?
But let me tell you, we being born in sin, every one of us need to be hated by God. Every one of us. We are bound to destruction. We are in no way be able to be eligible to be loved by God. And we focus upon the fact that why is God hating him? But instead focus upon the fact, why is God loving us in spite of our situation? That is what our focus should be. Some people try to interpret this saying, God, it says God, he loved less. He loved more, he loved less. But let's not try to interpret it. Whatever the word of God says is what it is. We are bound to be hated by God because of our birth, because of our sinful nature, that God's eyes are totally away from us. It shows about the judgment of God when we think about how he dealt with Esau. But we understand the mercy of God when we see about his relationship with Jacob. While we see all of this, God's purpose is being fulfilled. God's purpose and the covenant blessing that was given through Abraham, made to Abraham, established through Isaac, and confirmed through Jacob is that all families shall be blessed. All families shall be blessed. That means even the family of Esau should be able to experience the blessing of God through Jacob. So who are we to question the nature of God? There are certain verses in the scriptures where people are not able to accept and question the characteristic of God. Let me tell you, God is a God who is a creator of everything. He knows what he is doing. With our limited understanding, we may not look into it, but here we see in verse 18, in the same chapter, Romans chapter 9, verse 18. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, he hardens whom he desires. Verse 19, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, verse 20, O man who answers back to God, who are you, O man who answers back to God? So when we think about the nature of God, we should be very careful in questioning the characteristic of God. These are some of the statements that people are not able to really absorb. They all want to know the fact that God loves us. That's all they want to know. But we need to understand that none of us are worthy of God's love towards us. And that is what Esau represents. So now we see back to the fact about the covenant that he confirmed with Jacob, that his intention is that all families may be blessed through the choice of Jacob. Psalm 135. One of us, if you could please read Psalm 135 and verse 4. Maybe another sword drill. Psalm 135 and verse 4. Please read. The Lord has chosen Jacob for himself. God's purpose of his choice, not because of works. The Lord has chosen Jacob. Please read in any other language. Swakiya Dhanamuga, in his own possession, he has chosen Jacob for himself. His purposes are being fulfilled through the choice that he has. We see that his purposes are being fulfilled by choosing Jacob. God chose Jacob out of the two sons in order to fulfill his purpose in our lives. We know the story that back to Genesis chapter 26. Here we see how Isaac moves on to be able to go to another place called Gerar in the land of Philistines. And the Lord appears to him and specifically tells him not to go to Egypt in verse 2. And then he establishes his covenant in verse 3. I will be with you, bless you, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands. I'll establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because
Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. See how God is, not only is a God, he's a covenant making God, but he's a covenant establishing God. And also, while he's establishing his covenant, he's looking at the character of Abraham. That he says, he tells Isaac, Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes. And that is how we see that the covenant is being established over and over again. And that particular statement towards the end of verse 4, by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That is how we should be able to focus upon. Lord, as much as you are blessing me, as much as you are choosing me, I want to not only experience your blessings within me, but also I want to become a blessing to others. Don't try to say that they are cursed people. You should be a blessing to others. How God delivers them is one thing, but you and I need to be able, the focus of our attention when God chooses us is to be a blessing towards others. And then we see he similarly, just the way in which Abraham dealt with the relationship with Sarah, that saying she is his sister, though he's almost like a sister, have a half sister, like a white lie. Here also, again, he does the same thing. Isaac does the same thing with Abimelech in the land of Philistines. And then we see that God tries to be able to fulfill the purposes of being able to let Isaac come out of that place, not to be able to be affecting Rebekah in that relationship. And then he departs from there and ultimately camps in the valley of Gerar. And then there are some quarrels. We see Beersheba and other things that show up here. And then we see that in verse 27, we'll jump to verse 27. Before verse 27, I want us to see the life of Esau. The life of Esau, verse 34. Chapter 26, verse 34, when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. We see how Esau was focusing on the things of this world. He was trying to go forth through the fact that he not only sold his birthright, and he is proving himself of the kind of a person he is by the way in which he was having alliances and marrying as well. And in chapter 27 is where we see Isaac as an old man. Isaac as an old man. He had so much of difficulty in his vision that he was not able to distinguish seeing his two sons who were, I don't know if they were identical twins, but one of them was more hairy than the other. That's all he knew. That's all we know about. Whether they're identical twins or not, we don't know. But because of his vision, he can't see or distinguish between both his sons. And then we see that the stolen blessing that we know the story where Jacob, upon the suggestion of his mother Rebekah, that he goes and tries to deceive his dad, saying that he himself is Esau as an older son to get the blessings, and he steals the blessing from his brother. But if you see here, already he lost his birthright when both of them were dealing with each other in the end of Genesis chapter 25. So this is a follow-up of what happens from a blessing perspective, that Esau, he gets some blessings, but not the covenantal blessing. That is what we see here in this particular chapter of chapter 27. And now Esau bears a grudge against Jacob. He puts a grudge against Jacob, and that is what we see here, that he realizes his dad had given the covenantal blessing to Jacob. Verse 33, I want us to look at the nature of Isaac here. Verse 33, Genesis chapter 27 and verse 33, Isaac trembled violently with a great trembling and said, who was he that hunted? And then he was having the fear. He was having the fear, not knowing that it was Jacob that he blessed. But later he realizes that this blessing was for a purpose. And Esau was the one who was bringing grief to them, as according to the last verse of chapter 27. So Here we see in chapter 27 and verse 46, Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? So they were so discouraged by the way in which Esau was living a life. He was living a worldly life. He was going after the people of this world. Don't ever think that just by marrying the people who are of the heathen land, that the blessings of the Lord can pass along with them. We have to be under the will of God. Many people think that I have to be, through me, other nations, other families should be blessed. So why not go ahead and marry a non-believer or a non-Christian? Please don't try to come up with such kind of conclusions. The fact is that God has his plan in order to be able to fulfill, not through alliances. Otherwise, why should Rebekah let Jacob be sent away to another place? And which place was it? If you remember last week, we saw how Abraham, from the land of Ur, he goes all the way up north and then comes down to Canaan. And that up north, the peak of that place, is a place called Haran. There's another place also called Nahor. After the sons of Terah, or the brothers of Abraham, they named those two cities, and that area or a province, if you say on the top, is called Paddan Aram. Aram, Paddan Aram. Just want to let you know. That Paddan Aram is a place where these two major cities are, Haran and Nahor. And those are the places where Abraham leaves his family and comes down to the promised land, to Canaan, along with his wife Sarah and Lot and few other servants that he brought along. And then Abraham sends his servant to that place, to Haran, to find a bride for Isaac. And now Isaac and Rebekah, because Rebekah is from that place that she came down to Isaac, she and Isaac together send Jacob to Paddan Aram. Verse 2. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 2. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Remember? The storyline that we had. If you want, I can show you again. In here we see Nahor and Milcah have Bethuel and Rebekah. So now he says, Rebekah tells Isaac to Jacob that go back to Bethuel, my father's place. So we'll pick up the story from there. And now we see where Isaac was. He now travels running away from his brother because his brother wanted to kill him. So in Genesis chapter 28, we see Isaac tells Jacob by blessing him and charging him, go. In verse 3, may the Lord Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, multiply you so that you may become a company of people. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you so that you may possess the land of your sojournings which God gave to Abraham. Verse 5. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Very clearly, all relationships are mentioned here in verse 5. I just want to show you in the form of a map how he goes all the way up to the north. Somewhere here above the Lake Galilee is where Paddan Aram is. He goes from one place to the other place. And now we'll pick up the story in chapter 28. Verse 10. Chapter 28 and verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of the place, put it under his head, and lay down in that place. He had a dream. You know that dream. What is a dream? A ladder. Where we see that God specifically mentions in verse 13, verse 12, here it says there's a ladder, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13, and the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Notice this statement repeatedly coming. As God is choosing a particular line, lineage, a particular family, it doesn't mean that he's blessing that family only. He's using that family in order to become a blessing to others, spiritually speaking, as New Testament believers. As much as we are experiencing the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings of God, we should be a blessing to others. Here we see that specific statement of chapter 14 and towards the end. In you, in your descendants, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, notice this. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What a wonderful promise of God. I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. Will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When you think about this, it just talks about the covenant-keeping God. Covenant-making God, covenant-establishing God, covenant-confirming God. How he's confirming that? To the extent of not just giving a promise and leaving, but he says, I will be with you. That is the kind of promise that he is giving. And then Jacob awoke from his place, from his sleep. And he says, how awesome is this place in verse 17. This is none other than the house of God. This is also called Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. But Jacob, notice the carnal nature of Jacob here in verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and the garments to wear and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. Notice the nature of Jacob. First of all, condition. God, when he gave the covenant, he's saying, I'm with you, I'll bless you, I'll make your descendants a blessing to others and all that. But our man, Jacob, if God, notice verse 20. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take. What is it? He is a horizontal man. If God will be with me for my horizontal things. You know what horizontal things are? Earthly things. He is thinking of earthly blessings. His focus is earthly. Note it down, the first point under Jacob, covenant confirmed. Bethel blessing to Jacob. To Jacob, when he was going through it, his eyes were fully focusing on earthly blessings. When I was reading through it, it says, if God will be with me and keep me on this journey that I take, I'm going to go to Now I'm here in Luz, which I'm calling it Bethel. I'm going to cross the Jordan. I'm going to go to Padanaram. If God is going to be with me in this journey, most of us, our desire and prayer is, God, give me a safe journey. Where? On the road that I'm driving. Good. I'm not denying it. God is a God who will protect us in our driving. But Jacob's eyes and focus is to be able to look at the things of it. He says, my journey that I will take, and give me food to eat and garments to wear. What are these? Again, earthly blessings. Food to eat, garments to wear. Is that why what God is for? Is God only to satisfy our earthly needs? Of course, he's a God. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, he will satisfy the desires of our heart in giving us the things of this world. But if you see here, Jacob's focus is on the earthly things. How many times we try to challenge God saying, God, if you are going to give me this, if you are going to give me this, then I will believe that you are God. How many times we do that? How many times we do that? We are no different than Jacob. Focus on the spiritual things, not just the earthly things. So here we see
food to eat, garments to wear, and I returned to my father's house in safety. Yes, we want God to give us earthly safety, no doubt about it. But let me tell you, there is no place on this earth which is safe place. There's only one place under the arms of the living God, under the wings of the living God, is there a safety. He's the one who will deliver us unto eternity. That was the kind of blessing we see in Bethel. While God is talking something, he is telling this is none other than the house of God. But he's so carnal, let me tell you. He's so focusing on the earthly needs, in other words. If God, so he's questioning the blessings of God itself. He is saying, upon everything, then I will believe in God. If you do all of this, then I will believe in you. Then I will know that you are God. You see the kind of, who are we to question God? Just because God is not doing doesn't make him not a God. You cannot prove that he's not a God. So we are not the ones who have to prove that there is a God, that there is no God. But God is a God who's a gracious God. He let him go. He was with him. He let him go. He passed Bethel. He passed Bethel. Let us see the map here. He passed Bethel to Padanaram, to Haran. The spelling is H-A-R-A-N. But Padanaram, that is a place where he now travels along. He passes through all the places and there he meets Rachel. He falls in love with Rachel. He goes and talks to his dad, Laban, his mother's brother. And Laban is another double deceiver, in other words. He tries to deceive Jacob to the extent of giving his older daughter, Leah. And then he says, work for me another 7 years in order to be able to get Rachel. So that's how he works 7 years and 7 years for each of these people that he finally marries. So if you see now on the bottom, Rebecca and Isaac are the husband and wife. And now Jacob goes and then he marries Leah and Rachel, who are the children of the daughters of Laban, the brother of Rebecca. Jacob has all his expectations of marrying one polygamy, and not only them, but also he ends up marrying others as well. Who? Because Rachel was barren, instead of the way in which Isaac and Rebekah prayed together, depended on the Lord, the one where, in spite of all the things that were going on, Isaac and Rebekah were an exemplary couple in terms of maintaining their allegiance with each other. But again, if we see here, Jacob, he goes to Padanaram and he tries to live a life by having children with not only Leah, but also Leah's servant, and then Rachel's servant, and then finally he has children with Rachel, and these are the various children that are born to Jacob. Jacob is also called Israel. We'll look at it later. He has 6 sons through Leah. First 4 sons, and later towards the end, before Joseph is born, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah, 1 daughter. 12 sons and 1 daughter. This is the family of Jacob. He goes there and ends up having a huge family. Through Bilhah, he has Dan and Naphtali. Through Zilpah, he has Gad and Asher. And finally, through the one whom he originally wanted to marry, he has Joseph, followed by Benjamin, who are born ultimately as the 12 sons of Jacob. The 12 sons of Jacob. I put everything in green. I just put a gray color for Dina as a daughter. But the 12 sons that are the chosen sons, all the 12 sons were the chosen lineage that we see as we go forward with the story. So the thing that we can understand in this particular story is that all the situations that he went through in the life of Joseph, we see that in chapter 30, how the children are born to Jacob, and how he experiences blessings, earthly blessings, the food and the things that he questioned God, he ultimately got it. But now we see that the time had come for him to return. Chapter 31. Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that our fathers, because they saw that Jacob was earning more, he was prospering more. And then we see that Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, was not friendly towards him. And then we see in verse 3, Genesis chapter 31 and verse 3, the Lord said to Jacob, the God who said, I will be with you wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. And that God, he's a promise fulfilling God. In verse 3, he says, return to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you. And that is how he takes it as a commandment from the Lord for him to come back to the land of Canaan. And we see here how he leaves his father-in-law, and how his father-in-law pursues Jacob. And finally, God speaks to Laban that be careful how you talk with Jacob, how you are dealing with him. And in verse 29, Laban realizes how God dealt with him. In verse 29, it is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. And that is how God enabled Jacob to be able to come back to his dad Isaac, and where we see here that how long did he spend in Padan Aram. In verse 41, we see verse 41 of 31, Genesis 31, 41, it says, these 20 years I have been in your house, he tells his father-in-law. 20 years after the Bethel blessing, he spent 20 years. Out of that, he explains how he split that 20 years. 20 years I've been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. That means he got, out of 20 years, 10 times getting a raise. You can imagine. I'm going to complete 20 years at my workplace. I was just trying to remember how many times I got a raise. But he got a raise 10 times. And he was talking about his earthly prosperity. And he says that I have been doing it. Verse 42. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac. I think I mentioned this to you. A fear of Isaac. Isaac trembled because he was very careful how he was dealing with things. Though there were certain times because of his old age that he was not able to recognize. But he had the fear of God. Isaac was a man of God who feared God. And Jacob knew that. He could see the life of Isaac. So that is why not only did he say fear of Abraham, but the fear of Isaac. The fear of Isaac is God himself. If he had not been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, and he rendered judgment last night. Now his eyes are looking up. All this while he was horizontal. He realized, now he started using the words God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac. Now he started focusing upon, especially when we see the kind of when people are focused so much on the earthly things about job and, you know, salary hike and number of years, all that, suddenly he realizes that, oh, it is God. My eyes should be focused on God. I need to be vertical. I can see God blessing me horizontally. If God has not been with me, looking up. And then we see here that he has a fear of Esau when he's going back, because his brother would be there. In chapter 32, quickly we will move on. In chapter 32, we see here that he is afraid of his brother, so he divides his family into two companies, Mahanaim, it's called. We have meditated upon it as well during the Jordan Crossing series, how Jacob handles this situation. And then we see here that he keeps on reminding himself it is God of Abraham and Isaac. Chapter 32 verse 9, he says, oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, he said, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. And that is what we see here. And then
He's a God who gives us the spiritual prosperity and earthly prosperity. And then now we see that he divides his family into two on the fear of Esau. Verse 24. I want us to carefully look at it. Verse 24. In this particular picture, if you see, he comes down all the way at Mahanaim. And then verse 24, I want to read this. I want you to carefully look into your Bible in chapter 32, verse 24. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Jacob had to become alone, not focusing upon the earthly prosperity he had, be it children, be it the things of this world, nothing. He had to be all alone. And then we see that he saw a man wrestling with him. Till the dawn, till the morning, he keeps wrestling. And then he says in verse 26, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Jacob was all alone. "I will not let you go until you bless me. What is your name?" "Deceiver." "Who are you?" "I'm a deceiver." God had to reveal what kind of a person Jacob was when he asked his name. Not that he did not know his name, to be able to know that you have lived a life trying to get things for your benefit to the point of deception as well. "What is your name?" "Jacob." Verse 28, he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God, and with men have you prevailed." God prevails. Israel means God prevails. While he is wrestling with God, actually the word Israel means God prevails. Though certain times we think that it is Jacob who was prevailing, his part of the body, the socket of his thigh also was hurt. He calls that place, in verse 30, Jacob called the place Penuel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." It is either called Peniel or Penuel. He says, "I will not leave you until you bless me." Didn't God bless him at Bethel? Didn't God bless him at Bethel where he said, "I will bless you"? But his focus always was horizontal. Now, when he realized who he was, when he was all alone, leaving aside, or when everybody is away, that is when he realized that I need spiritual blessings. I need to recognize the spiritual blessings of God. So note it down, the second point that we see here, Penuel blessing to Israel. Bethel blessing to Jacob, Penuel blessing to Israel. You see the difference? Bethel blessing to Jacob was, he was thinking still earthly blessings. Oh, if I have this, I have that, I have this earthly prosperity, I'm blessed. His focus, though God's intention was different, his eyes were down. But at Penuel, he said, "I will not leave you until you bless me," because he realized that all that he was focusing, his striving all through this 20 years that he was living was for earthly benefits. He said, "Lord, bless me. Earthly blessings is enough for the things, but that is not sufficient. That is not satisfying. I want you to bless me spiritually." And that is where we see the Penuel blessing. And later we see in chapter 33, he meets his brother Esau, and they have a wonderful kind of get together that they meet, and they finally settle in Shechem. Towards the end of chapter 33, they meet in the, and then we see in chapter 34 how Dina, one of the daughters of Jacob, was mistreated by the Hivites, and it ends up to the fact that Simeon and Levi go and make a conspiracy and finally kill that person who defiled Dina. And that is what we see in chapter 34. If you want, you can read it. And now, lastly, we see chapter 35 for today, which is God once again meeting Jacob. God once again meeting Jacob. "Then God said to Jacob, 'Arise, go up to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau.'" And then we see here that God once again reminds him in verse 9. Notice this, Genesis 35:9. "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him and said, your name is Jacob, you shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Once again, not only at Penuel that God told him that you will be Israel, but in Bethel, he had to tell him that you are no longer be called Jacob, but Israel is your name. Verse 11, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you. Kings shall come forth from you. The land which I give to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you. I will give the land to your descendants after you. And God speaks wonderfully to him. And in verse 15, we see here that he names that place Bethel to remind himself the blessings of God were not just horizontal blessings, not earthly blessings. So note it down, the last point for today. Bethel blessing to Israel. Bethel blessing to Jacob, where he thought it was all earthly blessings. Many of us try to go after God for earthly blessings. But God had to teach him a lesson to say that, you come back, I'm going to show myself to you. Penuel blessing to Israel. And then again, a reiteration of the Bethel blessing to Israel. Then that's how the story we see that we will stop here towards the end of Genesis chapter 35. That lastly, we see Isaac breathed his last and died and gathered to his people. Jacob's life continues, but we'll stop here because the next generation is going to take over. After chapter 36, chapter 36 is the sons of Esau as to how they were spread out, chapter 36. And from next week, God willing, we will focus our attention upon Joseph. Chapter 37 to 50 is what it is. Little did I imagine, God reminded me. I thought only 2 weeks, Lord. 1 to 11, 12 to 50. We'll be done with Genesis. But God reminded me that it's not the case. It's not you who has to decide upon what it is. So he made me go through slowly to the extent of breaking the sermon last week. And even today, we are not completed with Genesis. Wonderful truths that I could learn. I want to close with one New Testament portion, reminding ourselves about these three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Luke chapter 13. Please listen to this carefully about Luke chapter 13, where Jesus talks about certain things that were going to happen. Luke chapter 13, I will read from verse 22. Listen to this very carefully, my dear. Listen to this carefully. There are some lessons that we might need to learn from Luke chapter 13, verse 22. As he was passing through one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem, someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? You know, such kind of questions nowadays, especially with the doctrinal kind of questions, people are questioning these kind of things. At that time also, it was not new. We were asking questions, only are there just a few who are being saved? And Jesus answers this from verse 24. Listen to this. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Verse 25. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door and begin to stand outside, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us, open up to us. And then he'll answer and say, I do not know you where you are from. Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we serve you in this manner? I will say, I do not know you where you are from. Verse 26. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. Lord, we went here and there. We went around outside, inside. We were serving you. And he says, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. This is what Jesus is saying, that this is what is going to happen towards the end of this world. Verse 28. In that place, notice this, verse 28. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth where you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. Jesus is talking about this patriarch, specifically apart from the prophets. And he says, in the hell, there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth, but you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and you will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. God is saying that you will see surprises in heaven. Whom you think this person will definitely be there in heaven, Lord. You might not see them. And whom you think, this person is good for nothing, this person will not show up in heaven, you might see them there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were not perfect people, my dear. They were not perfect people. But God chose them. And they were obedient. They obeyed the commandment of God when God spoke to them. Today, are you hearing the voice of God? There will come a point of a time, a day, when this incident will happen, when the door will be shut. You may be thinking just by attending church or just by getting some earthly benefits, that is enough. No. Know who this God is. This God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God who came down into this world to die for you and I. He's not yet another God who came down. He's the same God who came down and he died for you on the cross. Why did God choose Jacob? Only by his grace and mercy. Why should God choose you and I? Are you any better than Jacob? Why should God choose you? Only God knows why he chose us. Lord, why did you choose me, Lord? Who am I? There are many, many people who are better than me. You chose me, and that should really make us be thankful to God and obey his word and covenant that he has confirmed to us to be able to be not only blessed by God, but to become a blessing to others. May the Lord bless this word and prepare us to be able to read the other portions. If you have your time, if you want to follow the Bible series, please go through chapter 25 to 36 of Genesis that we have read today. And next week, God willing, we will continue with chapter 37 to 50. If it is under the Lord's will, we might complete the book of Genesis. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let's ponder over the covenant that God has made with Abraham, established with Isaac, confirmed with Jacob. Know goodness in them. These twins that were still in the mother's womb, they did not do any good or bad. But God's purpose was getting fulfilled by choosing Jacob over Esau, so that through the line of Jacob, all nations will be blessed. And through that line of Jacob was born Jesus Christ. Why did God choose Jacob? To have Jesus come into this world to become a blessing for us. Through the line of Jacob, all families will be blessed. Through Jesus, you and I are blessed. That is the whole purpose of God. We do not want to neglect understanding the whole purpose of God. Great stories, wonderful stories that we might understand. If you just leave it as a story, I'm sorry, that won't help. This will be just a history lesson. We need to understand spiritual lessons that we can learn from the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is our life? Just think about your life. What will happen when you die? Have you thought about it? Or if Jesus comes and he closes the door of grace, where will you be? Will you be inside or outside? Are you thinking that earthly blessings are enough for me? I tell you, Jacob had to learn great lessons. He had to learn over 20 years of his earthly experience, horizontal experience, that God had to make him alone. He had to deal with him alone. God wants to deal with you alone, my dear. This is not a family thing. This is a personal thing. Are you taking the blessing of God at Bethel as an earthly blessing? I'm sorry. Understand the blessing of God from Penuel and back to Bethel, the blessing of God to Israel. Look up, my dear. Focus your eyes upon Him. Then you will see why God has blessed you. Are you just absorbing the blessing and leaving it, or are you a blessing to others? Are you sharing the blessing of God with others to say, brother, sister, I'm being blessed. I want to be a blessing towards you. May the Lord enable us as we examine ourselves to set right our family relationships, to set right our relationships within the church, to set right our relationships with outside people, neighbors, colleagues, to recognize that you are here. A child of God is chosen by God, not only to be blessed by God, but to be a blessing to others within your family, within your church family, as well as at your workplace and the spheres of your influence. May the Lord bless this word.